training to recall, it was best to keep patience and coax it from him.
White coat paranoia. You know, those fools always believed there were secret cabals out to overthrow them. Private armies, hidden money and knowledge. All power, I suppose. But perhaps...
If this was such a place, another sect force, then maybe it's got a good armory.
J.B. almost smiled as he jammed his fedora onto his closely cropped scalp. The twinkle in his eyes betrayed his excitement.
We could do with a few new blasters, maybe some Grens. Should be easy to find the armory if this follows standard layout, right?
They all nodded in agreement.
Oh, well, I vote we get some sleep first. We know we can't stay here too long, and I can't feel any danger at all, lover.
Okay, we'll search for the armory after we've slept. Maybe see if we can access some information. This place seems to be in good order, so maybe the comps won't be too fucked up.
The weariness with which his companions agreed, and the fact that the armorer was content to leave the weapon search until after sleeping, were sure signs that the friends badly needed some rest. As they had all suspected, the dormitories were easy to find. Echoing Mildred's impression that the redoubt was on a smaller scale than most old sec installations, the dorms housed only a few beds per room. In fact, it looked as though the total personnel of this redoubt couldn't have been more than 30 at most. Dean, Jack, and Doc took one room, Mildred and J.B. took another, leaving Ryan and Christy to take their pick of the remaining dorms. Shutting themselves away from the others, and gaining a rare privacy since the beginning of their travels, they settled into one of the beds. The controlled environment of the redoubt had kept the linen fresh, and little dust or dirt had accumulated over the preceding century. Christy moved closer to Ryan, molding herself to his body and running a fingernail over the ridges of the one-eyed warrior's ribs, feeling the knotting of his muscles.
Still tense, lover?
Yeah. Maybe it's got to where I've forgotten how to relax. It's too quiet, too calm. I don't like it. It's not right. Too easy.
Christy drew circles with her nail on his rippling muscles.
Maybe so. I can't feel anything, and I'm cherishing the calm. Gaia knows we don't get too much of that. It's not a calm and peaceful world, so finding an oasis of peace for just a little while... Do you think you'd be able to settle if we ever did find the Promised Lands?
Ryan smiled at her choice of words, knowing that she had deliberately picked them to amuse him, relax him.
Possibly. But maybe I just can't think of that now, when there's a fight around every corner. Guess I've spent... Hell, we've all spent too long having to be on our guard. Peace like this just feels like the calm eye of some rad-blasted storm.
Well, we're in the eye of that storm right now, so we may as well make the best of it.
She moved on top of him, using every muscle in her body to coax the tired warrior away from his concern and into focusing on her and their togetherness. She was so skilled and moved so intuitively that Ryan found his restlessness draining away and his attention drawn entirely to his lover's body, as she roused him to a passion that they had little time to consummate. And afterward, he slept his first entirely dreamless and restful sleep, since he couldn't remember when. Both Ryan and Christy awoke the next day refreshed. Ryan felt easier, and on examining his wrist chron found that they had slept for almost 24 hours. After they had both risen and dressed, they ventured out of the dorm. The unearthly quiet that always accompanied a deserted redoubt was broken by the distant and muffled sounds of talk and the clatter of dishes. Exchanging puzzled and amused glances, they followed the sounds until they became more audible.
Say what like, but I don't give a shit. Not eating slop when self-heat's there.
Oh, come on, Jack. Doc's done his best, and it would make more sense to keep the self-heats and take them with us.
Yeah, but this crap will kill us before we get out of the main door, so then we won't need self-heats anyway, will we?
There was a wry edge to Dean's tone that suggested he was enjoying helping Jack to exasperate the more sensible Mildred, who was looking for backup.
John, don't just sit there not saying anything. Help me out on this one.
Leave me out of this, Millie. This crap isn't really edible, but then I don't like self-heats much either.
Ryan and Christy entered what was obviously the redoubt's kitchen to find their companions arguing at a table, with the exception of Doc, who was standing over a pan that bubbled dizzily on a hot plate. He greeted them with a sheepish grin.
I fear I may be the cause of some discontent. Upon finding a supply of self-heats, and also some foodstuffs that had been dried and preserved, I reasoned that it would be sensible to try to make a meal from the latter, thus preserving the self-heats for our travels. However, I must confess that my attempts at the culinary arts have not been altogether, shall we say, successful.
Christy wrinkled her nose at the stale stench emanating from the pan, and then glanced at Ryan. He, too, had noticed the smell. Doc noted their silent exchange. He replied to their unspoken question.
Precisely. The desiccated foodstuffs and, well, what they were, I can only assume, seemed to be as stale as the spices with which I have endeavored to enliven them. Also, the consistency was a lot to be desired.
It's not going to kill us. It'll still be nutritious, and that's the main thing. We can't waste self-heats.
Ryan looked from Mildred to Doc. The old man shrugged once more and smiled, revealing his eerily perfect teeth.
I suspect I know exactly what you're thinking. If I had merely dismissed the dried foodstuffs as so much dross and merely pointed out the discovery of the self-heats, then all this argument could have been avoided.
It was the first time for ages that Ryan had felt able to laugh.
Ah, don't worry about it, Doc. Guess you're right, but it's nice to just be somewhere for a while where we have the time to argue about absolutely nothing.
Doc grinned, his gleaming white teeth in his tightly drawn and lined face, giving him the appearance of a skeletal jester. He said no more, but tossed the one-eyed warrior a self-heat, which Ryan opened, setting off the process by which the contents were heated.
Let's just enjoy it for now.
Doc distributed some more of the containers. Even Mildred conceded that as poor as some self-heats could be in terms of taste, they were still superior to the bizarre hodgepodge that Doc had thrown together, still bubbling gently, if a little malevolently, on the hot plate. They ate in silence, none of them realizing until that moment how hungry they were, and how tired they had to have been to sleep without even thinking about food prior to this. When they had finished, Jack placed his container on the cluttered table.
Air getting bad.
And you're not helping.
Seriously, though, Jack has a point. We're going to have to think about leaving. The air conditioning plant won't be able to cope with us for much longer, and the air's just going to get worse.
Okay, we'll find the armory, check it out, then head on out. Let's check ourselves first, though. Don't want to be too relaxed.
The group ran through their weapons and supplies. As well as his leaf-bladed throwing knives, Jack also carried a .357 Magnum Colt Python with a 6-inch barrel. It was, as always, in immaculate condition. Dean checked his Browning high power. Mildred favored her Czech ZKR 551 38 caliber target revolver because it fit in with her pre-dark shooting skills, which had once allowed her to win an Olympic silver medal. Doc's favorite blaster was a Lamah double-barrel percussion pistol, usually firing two different kinds of shot. It was effective as a scatter gun at longer ranges and deadly in close quarters. A 38 caliber Smith & Wesson Model 640 was Christie's preferred blaster, and this was also checked. Ryan shouldered his Steyr SSG-70 rifle and inspected his Sig Sauer hand blaster. Mildred and Christie made sure that they had gathered the remains of the self-heats and tucked them into their backpacks. They were ready, if still relaxed. It was time to check out the armory. As with everything else in the redoubt, it was ridiculously easy to find. And there was no sec-lock on the door, which was easily opened.
Dark night. I knew it was too damned good to be true.
The armorer and Ryan walked into the room that had once housed the armory. It was empty, apart from one open crate, which contained several rifles. Ryan removed one of the rifles from the crate and handed it to JB.
Something's better than nothing.
JB pushed his fedora back from his forehead and examined the gun.
Guess I was maybe expecting too much. But what is this?
I was kind of hoping you could tell me that, partner.
They were of a fairly conventional shape, although the lines of the barrel and stock seemed to almost blur as they molded into one. The blaster was of some alloy with which they were both unfamiliar, and had a large round red sight on the top, which was non-detachable. There was a crystal in a cage at the end of the barrel instead of an opening, and there was no way of inserting ammo.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
JB put the rifle down and carefully wiped his spectacles.
Yep, think so. Maybe some kind of laser tech. Who knows how this stuff works? Never came across enough of it to figure that out. So if these were left here because they're defective,
Then we leave them, because they're just dead weight to us.
The armorer nodded.
One way to find out.
Ryan nodded in agreement. Making sure that the armory was clear, apart from themselves, they tried each rifle, toying with the settings.